Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time is Majeskiewicz.
7:37.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 7th, 2016. Faxed to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, main bulletin board, and the administrative offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Majeskiewicz, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Present.
Mrs. Hand? Mrs. McHugh?
Here.
Mrs. Olowski?
Here.
Mr. Pituto?
Here.
Mrs. Rudelgoda? Mr. Sturgis? And Mrs. Vanderoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. McLaughlin, would you lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Pituto, would you serve as the process guardian for tonight's meeting, sir?
Certainly.
Thank you. I would like to move on to the report of the superintendent. Dr. Delany, may we have the report this evening, please?
Good evening. This evening, for our enrollment report, we are currently at 1,334 students. In the past month, we've had one half-day suspension. For our HIB report, we have a total of eight HIBs, one of which was founded since, from September 27th through October 24th. This evening, we also have a resolution to approve the HIB and EVVRS report. And just to follow up with that, the reporting period is from January 1st, 2016, through June 30th, 2016. We're always 6 months behind or ahead of the report. For that report, for that six-month period of time, we're reporting five violence, one vandalism, and one weapon, and three HIBs connected to that, for a total of 10 reports. You will also see on the agenda tonight a memorandum of agreement. Each year, each school district works with the local police department, law enforcement, to sign a memorandum of agreement, which basically outlines how we will interact with them in the event that we need to work with them within the district or that something happens with our students. So as I said, that's a yearly thing, and that resolution will appear on tonight's agenda as well. In terms of some of the activities that have been going on within the schools, National Fire Prevention Week was the second week in October. On Thursday, October 13th, the Annandale Hose Company and Sparky the Dog visited Spruce Run School. So the students had the opportunity to go out and see the fire truck. The teachers dressed in the fireman's uniform so that the students understood what they would look like and what they would sound like with the masks on. School Violence Awareness Week is the third week in October throughout New Jersey. In each of our buildings, different activities took place around the idea of respect for ourselves, for others, and for our community and environment. This evening, we had an internet safety session for parents. Melissa Stroh presented a workshop on different aspects of internet safety. It was pretty eye-opening for the parents, for those that were here, just to see where some of your children may be visiting different websites, and just how some of the websites can access your camera or the microphone on your computer or your device without you even being aware of it. So it was extremely interesting. And we also have coming up the New Jersey Child Assault Prevention Program, which will take place for kindergarten students at Spruce Run. That program teaches parents and students about self-assertion, peer support, and effective communication when you feel as if someone is violating your space. There's an information session for parents on November 30th at 7 p.m. at the Spruce Run School Library, and the classroom sessions will take place for the kindergarten students during the week of December 5th. Just two other items coming up to be, just to make you aware of. There's a grade eight orientation on November 2nd at North Hunterdon High School. That's at 6:30 p.m. And then following that, on November 15th, there's a grade 8 parent meeting at our middle school, Clinton Township Middle School, right here at 7 p.m. That program is something new to the district. We have representatives from the high school and from the VOTEC coming to talk to parents and students about the programs that are offered in both locations. So just to keep those dates open, and more information will be going home from the middle school shortly.
So, thank you. I know you have a presentation, and if it's okay with you, let's move your report.
Okay.
And then we'll do the presentation, if that's okay. So I'm looking for a motion, please, for 17SU004 to 17SU009, please.
Motion.
Rachel, second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Vellani this evening? No, seeing none. Mr. Juskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Vander Ook?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes to all. I'm going to abstain on 17SU006 and 17SU007.
Motion carries.
Dr. Vellani?
This evening we have a presentation on our most recent PARC data. As you're aware, the state changed their testing procedures to PARC 2 years ago, and I would assume, I wasn't here, but I would assume you had your presentation on PARC data probably recently in the spring, because the state did take a significant amount of time getting the data back to the districts because it was the first time through the assessment and they were norming. As they have promised, the information did come back to the district earlier this year. So we tonight have a presentation for you on the PARC data from the spring 2016 assessment.
Good evening, everyone. This one. Too many microphones here. Thank you for inviting us this evening. As Dr. Vellani's indicated, these are the results that we received in August, and I believe the parent letters or parent informational sheets went home in September from the schools. So just in the case some of you are not aware, 2016 marks the second administration of the Partnership of Assessment of Readiness and of College and Careers, standing for PARC, and the first opportunity to compare year-to-year results, as the following slides will show. Last year, as was Dr. Vellani said, we did give our presentation in January, because that was the time when the results did come, but we fortunately, as they promised, we would get them in a more timelier fashion, and which we did. Certainly not as timely as we'd like. We're hoping that this year it will be more at the end of the school year, so we have the summer to review the results. The students took the PARC English Language Arts and Literacy assessments in grades 3 through 8, and they also took the PARC Math assessments in grades 3 through 8 and end of course assessments in Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and Geometry. Those of you who have been with us on the PARC informational track knew there were about 12 states. Now we're down to 7 states, and the District of Columbia participated in the last PARC 2016 administration. For this year, the PARC administration window opens as follows: March 27th through April 13th. Our break is April 14th through the 23rd, and as a result of that, we wanted to optimize on instructional practices and instructional opportunities, so we are not giving the PARC test until April 14th through May 19th, a four-week segment, our testing period for grades 3 through 8. And we are also very fortunate that we're able to do it this way because our bandwidth has increased, allowing us now to do it in a much more timely fashion. These are the PARC performance levels. New Jersey considers levels 4 and 5 to be passing. Many of the other states in PARC, 6 other states, accept level 3, but New Jersey has a higher standard. Level 1 is not meeting the grade level expectations. Grade 2 is partial. Grade 3 is approaching grade level expectations. But 4 and 5 is meeting grade level expectations, and 5 is exceeding grade level expectations. And that is what we are bound by, every school district in New Jersey. So let's talk a little bit about how we did. This is English Language Arts. As you can see, we color-coded the bars. Blue is 14-15 last year. The red is 15-16, and how we compare to New Jersey. We no longer look at the park states because that's really irrelevant at this point, because there are so few of them, and next year it could be five states, we don't know. But right now, we're comparing ourselves to New Jersey school districts. And as you can see, we've done fairly well. The third grade has surpassed what they did the year before. We went a little dip in fourth grade, which we can go into a little later on. Fifth grade also exceeded, sixth grade a little dip there, and again did well in seventh grade and eighth grade. We also went down, but oftentimes many of our students take the algebra one and two in geometry, so many of our stronger students are taking the higher level exams. And math, once again, the blue from last year, the red is what we're our most updated one, 15-16, last spring. You can see we did very well again, with a little dip in sixth grade, but for the most part, you can see how children did in the Algebra 1 test, the Algebra 2 test. There were only two students that took the Algebra 2, and one student took geometry, and they got 100%. So our students are very, very strong in math. And again, I have this accountable to all the good teaching that's going on in the district and the teachers that are involved with our students. Joanne will continue this presentation by talking a little bit about our performance levels at each grade level.
So in this stacked bar graph, what you can see are the different levels, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. At the very bottom, the blue, darker blue color represents the students who scored at a level 1. The red band indicates students that scored at a level 2, and the green at a level 3. When you get into the purple and the lighter blue up top, although my daughter might tell me I'm a little colorblind in what I'm calling these colors, you can see that the majority of the students were in the level 4 and 5, meeting or exceeding the grade level expectations. So that gives us an indication of how we're doing and what kind of percent of the population we need to look at advancing. This was in language arts. This one is the math. And again, not a dissimilar graph. Our math performance indicators are very high across the board. This one takes us third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, but because the data for the eighth grade math is broken into different sections for the end of year grade level test, as well as having 118 students take the Algebra 1 test, that's kind of an even split for that grade level, so we just included the grade level up to 7. So a very small grouping of our students are at that level 1 and so on. So the red band and the green band indicating those groups of students that have not yet reached the proficiency level satisfactory to the state of New Jersey. We'll talk a little bit, Debbie and I both will talk a little bit about the next steps. There's a lot of information to be gathered from this, not the least of which really is taking a look at the very generic data in terms of how we did in overall language arts and math, but really digging into what that data tells us about student performance and what it means for our district as a whole.
We embarked on a new assessment this year for our benchmark assessments. We went on with Renaissance. Renaissance is a computerized assessment that students will be taking in all grades. And basically what we wanted to do is monitor their progress, how they're progressing throughout the school year. And this allows us to do it. It's a 20-minute to 25-minute assessment that is done on a computer where students are doing this individually and they're looking at their skill array and how well they're performing. Teachers can then assess them accordingly and see how they're growing. What's the other important piece about Renaissance is that it is compared, it's based on the benchmarks of PARC. So we have a better idea from the very beginning how they are aligned and how they're doing if, in fact, the PARC test were to be administered at that particular time. So we're very pleased with that. In addition to that, the parent reports are, again, very user-friendly, very similar to the PARC parent reports. They're color-coded and makes it very easy for a conversation between a teacher and a parent to see how their child is progressing. In addition to this, which we've never had before, is we have data calls. We have data calls with each benchmark where the teachers can come together and have a conference call with someone from Renaissance who can interpret and explain the different reports that is available to them with relative ease and interprets it for them so they have a better understand how their child is progressing. We conducted a data call at each of the schools so far after the first administration of the Renaissance test, and the feedback has been very, very positive. And if anything, it's encouraged teachers to really look at some of these reports because you can really drill down exactly how well these children are doing. Joanne will talk a little bit about evidence statement.
So one of the pieces of data that comes out of PARC are the evidence statement analysis pieces, and I'll show you that in a minute when we get through the remaining dots on the slide. But basically what it does is it breaks down the questions. So for instance, in the language arts section of PARC, there are typically between 30 and 35 questions per grade level, somewhere right around the 50 to 55 mark for math. And it takes that information and it breaks it down, gives you a kind of a graph that's three lines superimposed on one another. The line that's of value to us is what our district has done. And that one will tell us for each question whether we scored above or below how the PARC states and the rest of the schools in New Jersey did. But the valuable piece is in taking a look at that data, you can see what that standard question was based on. So you can take a look at it. It will reference a certain standard in reading or math. Then you can go down into that and see what that question looks like, what types of things they were asking, and inform instruction. So as we look at those evidence statements, what we'll be able to pick up are holes or gaps in the curriculum or instruction. So we'll take a look at that in a little bit. One of the other things that we look at in the course of this are our instructional strategies. It's incumbent on us to take a look at what it is that we're looking for our kids to do. And the goal of assessments like PARC is to teach children how to think, not teach them how to take a test. And so when you look at the questions, a lot of the questions are based on modeling and reasoning. So it's an effective strategy for instruction, and we're looking at a variety of methods to do that, including problem-based learning, which we've begun training staff in this year. Another aspect of that are the assessment strategies we're using, and we're going to see these come into place a lot more this year as we initiate the next generation science standards, because those assessments are basically performance assessments, not memorization of facts. You're not going to find a lot of memorization of fact or what's considered a type one question in the PARC assessments. So you're going to see more of that modeling and reasoning evidence that's asked for. And when we look at performance-based assessments and we start to integrate those into instruction, we're going to see that that's the best practice that we'll need to follow. And then finally, one of the things that we're going to be doing is data analysis by grade level. So our third grade last year was the first group to take PARC, so we'll be able to track them and the following grades all the way through. And that's what we're looking at now, is gathering that data in those grade level cohorts and tracking them throughout the year to see what's impacting them. We did note that there were a couple of times where we went down a slight percentage. Those percentages range from 1% to 5% in average. And keeping in mind that, you know, we'll take a look at what was happening within those questions, within those evidence statements, and seeing if that's a reasonable enough margin of error to tell us any good data about it, how it really would affect us. So what I'll do is I'll get out of this real quick and I'll show you what an evidence table looks like. And it's going to cut some of it off, unless Tim can tell me how to miraculously stretch out the screen, but I don't seem to think there's ever a good way to do that. What? Command minus. Oh, that's very efficient. Thank you, Mr. Technology. Okay. Of course, now I can't see it at all, so I'll have to look right here. So what you note here is the red line is the cross state or the park state piece. The blue line, that's how districts in the state of New Jersey did, and what we are the dots. They appear to be yellow in some places and green on the key, so it's just the round dot. So what this tells us is that in most instances, we're following along and above the line of how the state performed. But every once in a while, we get these little blips. And what we do is we take a look at where they occur, and it will tell us where in the park content framework that happened. So for instance, in this one, we can see that, you know, there's down here, and these questions are actually stacked, so they start in order of most difficult and descend to least difficult. So we take a look at what they mean. This is a mathematics grade 4, so if we look at some of the lower dots, we can see them in different places. You come down here, and it will actually tell you what was the domain for that piece of instruction. And what was interesting about the fourth grade piece was that one of the things that popped 4 times as a lower level skill was measurement and data. So what that would mean to us in curriculum and for the staff is that we would take a look at how is it we're instructing the measurement and data units. What is our Go Math, which is the program that we're using in mathematics at this grade level, what is that doing in terms of instruction for measurement and data? Where was it taught in the course of the year? Is it something that was taught in September, and this was something that we assessed back in April, May? So we'll look at all those timelines and different impacting factors. If that's material that we need to supplement, if it's something that we need to take a greater look at. So it gives us a nice fine tuning of what the questions were that were asked and how we can go about taking some analysis on those. Less specific, when you look at some of the ELA ones, let me see if I've got one here. This one is an English language arts literacy piece. So again, you have, the questions here. It shows us, this is fourth grade as well, shows us how we did, marching right along and above with a couple of dots below. This one gives you less informative pieces in the evidence statement analysis here, but certainly standards that you can look up along the bottom of this graph. So it really kind of breaks it down into informational text, literature, and so on. But when you get into the standards, you could easily take a look at what they mean. So in one of them, it says RI 4.5, reading informational text, but it says that 20 times on this piece of paper. So you really have to get into what does that mean. So when you go into what the standards are, we know that the ELA literacy standard 4.5, what does it mean? We take a look at that. So it's the goal here, and the best thing about the data that we're getting is not that broad set of data, but the data that allows us to look at what our district is doing and what our instruction looks like and how we can better inform that to improve student performance.
And in just closing, if you remember, and I'm sure many of you in this room remember the New Jersey Ask, and how this is can't even compare to what the information we received from New Jersey Ask. We could never really decide or inform our instruction. So we're very pleased in the fact that this does give us information, and the fact that we are currently using assessments in the district to give us similar information. So we will definitely be in much more in line with what the expectations are in PARC, because our Renaissance gives us reports similar to this, even color-coded, like the PARC test does. So we feel much more comfortable in that. In addition to that, a lot of our online instructional programs will also enhance the students' ability to do well in the PARC, because they're going to be open and accustomed to working online and looking at, such as Joanne mentioned, Go Math. We have the Think Central now, which students will be much more exposed to technology applications through that. We have the eighth grade social studies, which is now a digital format. We have, obviously, the Google Classroom we've been using. We have Discovery Ed. The Renaissance also has instructional resources for the teacher if a child is not doing well in one particular skill, there are resources within Renaissance that will give a teacher a particular lesson to expose the students to. So we are trying to really provide as much support for the teachers in working with students in addressing these skills, which all are based on the Common Core. And that's it.
I have a question. The states that opted out, that aren't using this, how are they assessing their students?
They had to design their own test, and that whatever test they selected, they had to be approved.
And not all of them have abandoned PARC. A lot of them are using a hybrid, where they're using a lot of the digital components and using the higher level modeling and reasoning pieces. Massachusetts is currently looking at creating a hybrid test, but in some instances, people they weren't pleased with the results they got from PARC, and stepped away. In other cases, it was a fiscal decision because it's not a federally funded program. It's testing. It costs about $25 per student across states, and some of them opted not to use that for fiscal reasons.
Do we have a sense of whether New Jersey is going to continue in this? I mean, we probably get that question a lot.
They feel that they are continuing with it.
Right. And now with everything, if you go on their website, New Jersey Department of Education, Achieve New Jersey, everything is pretty much in sync with this in terms of all their supports, instructional supports, information.
Is it possible we get a copy of the presentation?
Sure. And we'll have it posted.
Okay, yep. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for members of the board? Thank you very much. It was very good.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on to our public comments section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comments section. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair and consistent and equitable way. Also, the public comments section is for comments made by the public only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will have at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions we cannot answer and answer them at a later date. No one may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. Okay, seeing none, I would like to then open the public comment section for recognition of the public. All the guidelines that I just read for the public comment section and agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board this evening on any issues pertaining specifically to the district or the board, please approach the microphone. Seeing none then, I'd like to move on to the report of our business administrator and our board secretary, Mr. Jeskowitz.
The date of the Board of Education's next regular scheduled meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 21st, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. Bus evacuation drills were conducted successfully at the Clinton Township Middle School on Thursday, October 6th, 2016. The drills were also conducted successfully at Round Valley School, Patrick McGarren School, and the Spruce Run School, including afternoon preschool on Friday, October 7th, 2016. And that concludes my report.
I'd like to look for a motion, please, for action item 17BA007 to 17BA010.
Motion.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Juskowitz this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Juskowitz?
Mrs. Vander Ark.
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Pituto.
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our committee reports for this evening, we'll start with Facilities and Finance. Mr. John Pituto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Pituto, may we have the report of your committee, sir?
Certainly. The Finance and Facilities Committee met last Tuesday, the 18th, where we reviewed the details of the majority of the action items that appear on tonight's agenda. In total, we have 32 action items to review and vote on tonight. In addition to our usual action items this month, such as a payment of bills for the current period, the request for employee travel, student IEP, and transportation updates, we also have a few non-standard items to review. Action items 17FF077 through 079 relate to the cancellation of numerous old checks that have yet to be cashed. These checks come from the cafeteria account, the payroll account, and the general funds account. Some of these checks date back several years, 2 to 3 years actually, which is why we're canceling and clearing them from the associated accounts. Action item 17FF080 approves an increase to the 2016-17 budget to appropriate $100,000 from our maintenance reserve account. Action item 17FF085 approves a 457 plan adoption agreement with TPA The Legend Group. The 457 plan is a type of non-qualified tax advantage deferred compensation and retirement plan, which is available to our staff. We have several items related to the ongoing site improvements at our four schools, including the ongoing work on the wastewater treatment plants. With action item 17FF096, the board approves the 2017 summer extended school year program for pre-K through seventh grade. The SE program will take place at Spruce Run for pre-K, and it will take place here at the middle school for grades K through seven. Finally, with action item 17FF105, the board approves the emergency bus evacuation drills in accordance with the New Jersey Administrative Code NJAC 6A27-11.2. So with that, I'd like to set forward a motion for the approval of action items 17FF074 through 17FF105.
Thank you, Mr. Pituto. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Pituto this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Pituto.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Vander Ark.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to second committee report of this evening, Ms. Vander Ark, can you please present personnel negotiations?
Sure. We met once since our last board meeting, and we have tonight 18 agenda items. Agenda item 17-PN-070 to agenda item 17-PN-088. One agenda item relates to the board's approval of the 2016-17 Statement of Assurance for the New Jersey CUSAC. One is a movement of an end date for a disability leave of absence, and there's also two new disability leave of absence requesting approval. One is an amendment to an action item that was actually on September's agenda. It's amended and it's related to pay for an employee. There are two agenda items that relate to approval of HIV training and CPR training for staff members in the district. One agenda item requires approval for extended hours for school celebrations and other events during the 16-17 school year for a staff member. There's one job change for a PMG staff member. And there are appointments for one lunch aide and a substitute lunch aide. And finally, there are eight teaching assistant appointments and related appointments for home instruction and other student activities for the 2016-17 school year. With that, I'd like to ask for a motion for agenda item 17-PN-070 to agenda item 17-PN-088.
Motion. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Orlowski. Any questions for for Ms. Vanderhoff this evening?
I have a question, although I don't know if Ms. Vanderhoff can answer it. It might be better suited for Dr. Vani. How long does it take to get the CUSAC back to see if it passed?
It's not the same as a full CUSAC, so okay. You just basically send it into them, and if they have questions, they'll contact us. But okay.
Okay, great, thanks.
If they have questions, they'll all inform them.
Any other questions this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our final committee report of the evening, Policy and Curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, can you please give us your committee's report?
Yes, the Policy and Curriculum Committee met 2 weeks ago. We met for a long time, but we only have 4 action items. right, Ms. McHugh?
Yes.
The first action item is we are going to be adopting the course guides for preschool through grade 8. Second action item is to approve first readings of the school-furnished electronic device distribution and use, as well as the special education revised policy and regulation. Third action item is associated with field trips. We have the second grade going to Morristown to see a performance. We have the eighth graders traveling to the high school for transition to learn more about their upcoming school year. And the poetry club will be going to Bethlehem Township for a competition, I believe. Actually, we only have 3 action items, right? 3 action items. Well, I guess the field trips are on 2 separate action items. So that's my report. I would like to move action items 17 PC 21 through 17 PC 24.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Pituto?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff? And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We have one ad hoc committee on the Board of Education. That's the feasibility of closing the school. That committee has nothing to report this evening. So I'd like to move on to old business. Any old business that members of the board would like to bring up this evening? No? Mrs. McLaughlin, has the Huron County Board of Education met and had meetings?
Well, they did meet, but I think I had back to school night, so I didn't attend.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to new business on the board. Does anyone on the board have any new business to present this evening? No, seeing none. I'd like to open up the floor to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school-related matters only. If you'd like to approach a microphone, please do. All the guidelines that apply for the first 2 open public comment sections apply here. If you'd like to address the board, please say your name, address. Ms. Brennan.
How do you know it's me?
I don't know.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I had 2 things real quick. One, I don't know if it's because of the new website or whatever, but I didn't see the first readings sent out. I don't know if, I mean, I signed up for everything, but if there's a new spot on the website to find it, that'd be awesome. And my second thing is, I have a question on if you guys have started negotiations with the teachers, knowing that the end of the contract is in June. I know it took a while, so I was hoping we don't get in that same position. So I hope that, especially with budget and crazy season coming up, that comes starts before, sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Jeskiewicz, can you please read the executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 ETSEC requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employee and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality as personnel, and whereas any collective bargaining agreement or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representatives of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administration Association, and between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association. And whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 120 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session this evening.
Motion.
Ms. Hughes, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting, please.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Meeting is reconvened. Ms. Vanderhoff, can you please read the resolution from your committee, please?
Yes, action item 17-PN-089, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves Philip Stern Esquire of DeFrancesco, Bateman, Kunzman, Davis, Lehrer, and Flan, PC, as negotiations attorney at an hourly rate of $160 per hour for negotiation and $95 per hour for legal fees. Can I get a motion?
Motion. Second.
Any questions for Ms. Vanderhoff? Seeing none, can I please have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Ms. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
A second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting adjourned.